Let's give Shelly Hedgepath a hand.
Thank you all so much. I'm so excited to be here to share today with you. And as we were just singing that last song, all I could think is surely the presence of the Lord is in this place today. It is such a wonderful day, and I'm just so privileged to get to be a part of it with you all. And this skit that you all just performed, I was just like, okay, that just totally read my mind from what I was wanting to speak on today. So it's such a wonderful segue into what I'd like to share with you today. As we're thinking about the woman in the mirror this morning, I've had the past 3 weeks. I've just gone back to work after being home all summer with my babies, and I might get a little emotional. But it's been a hard 3 weeks. I'll tell you that for sure. Because I've been home every day and just been loving on my boys, and you know, the stress and the craziness of getting back into a routine and going all day long and coming home and having to still go and be mommy, it's been really difficult. So I feel like I've been stretched like a big rubber band as far as it'll go before it just snaps. But the Lord has been with me, and he's helped me through every bit of it. But as I've gone back to school, I've looked in the mirror this past week, and all I've seen is just exhaustion. And just, I've just been so overwhelmed with tiredness and, you know, just not wanting to go anymore. And this morning I got up and I looked in the mirror and I saw a refreshed face ready to come and speak with you this morning. And I'm just so, so thankful that the Lord gave me rest last night, and I was able to come and be with you today. So as I was thinking about today and what I wanted to share with you, I started thinking about mirrors and words that are associated, or words that we might think of when we think about a mirror. And I job share, and so I have a wonderful partner that I teach with, and we've been at school together for the past 3 weeks. Starting on Monday, I'll be there part of the week, and then she'll come in the other days that I'm not there, and it works out so beautifully. But we were talking yesterday, and I said, Beth, what do you think of when you think of a mirror? And she thought for a minute, and she said, you know, Shelly, I don't think very highly of myself, so when I look in the mirror, I feel negativity. And I just thought, oh my goodness, what a broken heart that she has, you know. And so I vowed to her, I said, I promise you, I'm going to pray for you and, you know, encourage you and help you to feel better about yourself. Because as God's child, we all have got to feel so, so good about ourselves. And not necessarily our outward appearance, but we are his children. And so that just really kind of set me back a little bit, thinking a little bit more about what I wanted to talk about today. But I think of myself when I think of a mirror, because that's who I'm looking at, right? That's who we're looking at when we look in the mirror. It's glass, and if we're not careful, we'll break it. And actually, I also thought of bad luck. We don't want to do that if it breaks, do we? Or break it, because we might get that bad luck. But just looking at ourselves and looking at others, just all those kinds of things are associated with a mirror. But the most important word, and the one that stuck out to me most, was the word reflection. In a mirror, we see our reflection. And so I just want to ask a few questions before I get started today, and I don't want you to answer these out loud. I just want you to think about, in your life, what kind of reflection are you seeing when you look in the mirror? What kind of reflection are we reflecting to others when they look at us in the mirror? And most importantly, who are we reflecting? And is God pleased with who we are when we look in the mirror? So I just want to talk about reflections of being a lovely lady today, and what we can do to make our reflection more a reflection of God in our lives every day. Our ladies' class at Heritage has recently studied the book Reflecting God by Kay Smith, and I'm actually going to use some of her words today because she just has some wonderful thoughts that I couldn't say any better. And so I'm going to share some of her things with you today, but hopefully you will be able to walk away and really be able to reflect on yourself and see God in your reflection every day. We think of ourselves, you know, a woman, when we look in the mirror, very well put together, makeup flawless, our skin flawless sometimes, unless you're stressed and you've got these spots popping up all over your face like I have this week. But impeccably dressed with all matching accessories. We all look so beautiful today. Lovely indeed. But whose eyes and for what reasons? As women, we're often concerned about our appearance, aren't we? Yeah, we want to look good, don't we? And how often do you check yourself in the mirror before leaving the house, or you run into the ladies' room when you're out somewhere to freshen up while you're out? We all do it, don't we? When do you see, or what do you see when you look in the mirror? What is it you're looking for? Is it really what you should be looking for? As we have stated this morning from Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And many scriptures talk about clothing in the Bible, but there are three that really stand out, and this is part of Kay Smith's writing. Three are very important scriptures for those who are walking with Jesus, and I just want to share some of those today. The first one is Colossians 3:12-14, and it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." And that's the kind of layered look that we want as God's child, or a God's women, if you will. So let's just think about those virtues that we want to have in our lives and really focus on those. Another is the beauty of humility, and the passage is 1 Peter 5:5. And it says, "Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." There's a big difference between genuine humility and false humility, isn't there? Yes, we definitely can tell. Those who are truly humble are actually unconscious of it sometimes. Others that walk about, you know, telling about everything that they're doing, and we've all been around it. Those are not the truly genuine, humble people. So let's remember to be beautiful in the area of humility. We've got to just do things and not think about it. Not think about it. Do it because it's in your heart. And then the last scripture for this little part, I've got more scriptures, ladies, let me skip over here. I'm sorry. Isaiah 61:10 from the Old Testament. "I will rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels." Salvation and righteousness, wow. We get those from our Heavenly Father. And isn't it wonderful to be clothed with those? Also in Isaiah, he talks about a garment of praise. And we need to remember every day that we must clothe ourselves in praise to our Father. Okay, all of us have heard Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? As Christian women, we don't need to be like that evil queen in Snow White, do we? Looking into the mirror, concerned only with our vanity and making sure that we look better than those that we consider our rivals, isn't important. James states in chapter 1, verses 22 through 24, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." We need to look in the mirror of truth, a mirror that reflects what God sees. And once we get a glimpse of what and who we really are, we need to acknowledge and seek to change only what God sees and do what is pleasing to him. Also, a lovely lady, a reflection of a lovely lady. Who is she a reflection of, just like I asked earlier? We see the moon because it reflects light from the sun, S-U-N. A lovely lady should reflect the light of the sun, S-O-N. Just as the moon can help us find our way and provide light in darkness, we as women are to be a shining light to others, a shining light reflecting Jesus Christ. Bringing people out of the dark places and lighting their path to a more intimate relationship with Christ. And as our example, reflecting that sun is going to help others. In Titus 2, verse 3, it says, "Reverent and devout in her deportment, a giver of wise counsel and a teacher of what is right and noble." When people look at her, there should be no question of who this lovely lady is, and more importantly, whose she is. Matthew 13, 43 says, "Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." And my husband's favorite verse, Matthew 5, 16, "In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." But who do they glorify? Our Father in heaven. There's that humility coming back. We've got to make sure that we are reflecting God in everything that we do. So the lovely lady the lovely lady lives a life that brings honor and glory to God. She becomes less so that he can become more. And she's a living testimony to what God can and will do in a person's life. A lovely lady is a reflection of God. I want you to think about a swimming pool or a pond or a bird bath, if you will. And when that water is calm, what does your reflection look like? When the water is calm, the reflection is normal. You can see details. But when the water becomes troubled, your reflection becomes distorted, doesn't it? A lovely lady is a reflection of Christ in spite and many times because of her circumstances. We do have to be careful not to change based on the circumstances of our lives. We've got to stay true to Christ. And because he is true, he never changes. His word remains true despite the changes that occur around us. We cannot reflect Christ only when things are going our way. We've got to reflect Christ no matter what circumstances we are facing. In fact, I believe it to be a great testimony when we stand faithful to Christ in times of trouble. God's still going to give us peace and peace beyond our understanding. He understands what we're going through. So we've got to keep that going in our lives. And by standing on his word and refusing to believe the lies that the enemy puts in front of us, we've got to reflect the character of Christ even when the waters are troubled. And I was thinking, attitude has a whole lot to do with this, doesn't it? Yes. Our attitude toward life has everything to do with your spirituality, with your spiritual growth. And in James 1, verses 2 through 4, let me skip over here so I can read it. James gives us clarity about the trials in our lives. And he talks about our attitude also. He says, my brethren, count it all, what? Joy. Joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. So our attitude says so much about who we are as a lovely lady. And then, of course, our verse, or our Proverbs 31 chapter that we're also familiar with, it describes what God considers to be a lovely lady, a lady whose value is far above rubies. I love my diamond ring, but my value to God is so much greater. It is in verse 30 that God reveals to us what makes this woman so valuable. It's not the way she looks or the amount of things she possesses. Excuse me, I need to grab a drink of water. My mouth feels like cotton. The secret to value, our Christian value, is our spiritual life. The secret that is available to every one of us is her reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, creating the true foundation for a life that is valued by God. There are many great women in the Bible, aren't there? We've just learned about some of them in our skit up here. But in verse 29, we are told that this woman, this virtuous woman, excels beyond all of them. She did more than Miriam, who led the women of a nation in praise to God in Exodus 15. This woman did more than Deborah, who helped save her nation by providing military advice in Judges. Ruth, the woman who refused to return to her people and remained faithful to her mother-in-law. And also the Shunammite woman, who provided a resting place for Elisha, whom she recognized as a man of God in 2 Kings. And I don't know if a lot of you have heard of this lady, Huldah, the woman who revealed God's secret to leaders for King Josiah, and more than Queen Esther, of all the women in the Bible, the woman who risked sacrificing her life to save the lives of her people. This virtuous woman excelled them all in her devotion to God. Often, when we look at this scripture, we think only of the ability of this woman as a homemaker, right? However, her devotion to God was evident in every area of her life. In her relationships with people, in her relationships with God. How many of us put God in a box? I know I have many, many times. And I think, I'll just limit God to today, and, you know, but when I go here, you know, I can be whoever I need to be. Do we separate our life into spiritual and non-spiritual? I think a lot of times we do. We must put our life into our relationship with God instead of putting God into our relationship with everyone else. We must put our life into our relationship with God. This lovely lady also possesses seven Christian values. And in 2 Peter 1, there's virtue, which is excellence or Christian energy. There's knowledge. There's self-control, steadfastness, which is patience and endurance, keeping on going, godliness, brotherly affection, and Christian love. These are all the characteristics that the lovely lady possesses. These are characteristics that we should see when we look in the mirror. So I want to challenge you. The next time you take a look in the mirror, look deeper. Do not look at your earthly eyes, although they're beautiful. Look with spiritual eyes. Do you look different? Is something missing? For most of us, the answer is yes, because we always have something to work on, don't we? But don't despair. There's never condemnation in God's correction. There's never condemnation in God's correction. He will not tell you to change something without giving you the power to do it. I've said my whole adult life, if God takes me to it, He's going to bring me through it. He's not going to put something in front of me that He's not going to give me the power to accomplish. So let me say it again. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? You are. You are. For you are fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image. And ladies, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be here. Thank you.